Church. Happy Father's Day for me as well. I've forgotten all about Father's Day until Emma came in this morning and insisted I stop what I was doing and listen and focus, which some of you know, sometimes if fathers, keep talking. But I heard her and I was like, oh, right, you're right, it's Father's Day. I really hope you take to heart what Melanie said about whether you have biological kids or not. Our world needs some godly men to be able to stand up and speak and to speak life into young people. There's a lot of young people that don't want to hear it. And the sad thing is there are young people that will hear it, but there are not men that are saying it, that we stand up and not only show them love, but speak truth to them. Even as my job sometimes as a pastor, sometimes speaking truth, it's not always fun and it's not always easy, but it's always necessary and it's always needed. So I encourage you to keep doing that. I want to take just a second and look right at the camera. I know we have a lot of you guys who are watching at home now. For whatever reason, you're not back with us in person. Just know we miss you and we love you, and we can't wait to see you all in person. I know we have a lot of visitors. Y'all know there's a lot of people who started watching us during the online time, and they've never been here in person. I talk to them, a lot of these people, regularly, and they just haven't, for whatever reason, health conditions, they haven't felt okay to come join us yet, but they're going to be joining us. And I want all of you guys to know you're welcome. You've been with us for 8, 10, 12 weeks now, whether you like it or not, you're family. We can't wait to see you here in person. We're going to jump back into our series we started last week called the Red Letter Series. It's based on this idea of your red letters in your Bible. That last week, we saw this scripture that before Jesus was on the earth, the Bible's very clear that he was in heaven with God. God sent him to the earth as the baby, as fully man. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice that it's a capital W. It's talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Nothing was made without him. And that's what our whole series is about. It's about just looking at some of the passages, and there's so many in there, we could never get them all in, and I'm not even going to try. But we're going to actually sit on one idea for the next couple weeks. It was just too much to get in. And so I just decided, rather than hurry through it, we're going to talk about it for a couple weeks. And we're going to look at these red letters. Well, in the book of John, and if you're visiting with us today, a lot of times in the summer, I tend to do a series where I can be a little bit more teachy than preachy. It's just a good time for all of us to learn, even for people who maybe don't know Jesus or this is your first time exposed to church. It's just good foundation for you. Sometimes you got to eat broccoli. You can't always eat Krispy Kreme. My girls got me Krispy Kreme for this weekend, and I've eaten a ton of them, and I realize I shouldn't have eaten that many. Sometimes you just got to eat broccoli. So we're growing a garden, so we're going to eat corn and squash and zucchini. We're going to get all that good stuff later, but that's what we're doing now. We've been eating a lot of sweet, fun stuff. Now we're going to kind of get into a little bit more of the teaching side. But in the book of John, there's 7 unique times. I probably put more studying in this week than I have in many months, just because I knew this was there, but I've never really studied it out. And so you're going to learn with me week to week over the next couple weeks. But there's 7 unique times that Jesus says, I am, and then he fills in a blank as you go through the book of John. And it parallels, just to give you a little context, it parallels what God told Moses, if you remember, in the Old Testament. You remember Moses goes up on the mountain, he's talking with God, and he wants to know, God, when I go back down to the people of Israel, who do I tell them I am? And I always thought God was just kind of being sarcastic and funny, but there's a lot of meaning in the words. And if you look at this in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God replies to Moses, you tell them, I am who I am. Can you imagine? I mean, some of you, if you've been in like a college professor or something, these are the guys you hate, right? You ask them a question like, sir, what is this, what's 2 + 2? Well, so 4. Okay, well, can you explain a little different? Yeah, sure. I can give you a different look at it. 2 + 2 is for. No, no, you're not hearing me. I need you to explain to me. I kind of think that's how Moses felt. No, God. Okay, it's funny. You are. I am. You're funny, God. Now, who do I tell them sent me? We tell them I am. Well, no, really, God. Who do I? Well, you tell them I am. And you say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. You see, it didn't make sense to us. But in the Hebrew context, it made perfect sense because they had such a reverence for God and his name and who he was. In the Hebrew culture, they don't. A lot of them, you'll see a blank and an OD, or you'll see letters missing in the word that means God. It's because they hold it so revere, so high, they don't even write it. They don't complete. It's not. They don't feel worthy to write it. But see, Jesus makes very clear in the Gospels where he came from, who sent him, who his Father is. Very clear in this claim. And in John chapter 8, he connects himself to Exodus chapter 3. If you don't know, if you're new to the Bible, John is in the New Testament. It's the covenant agreement. It's our promise from God that we operate under. Exodus is in the Old Testament. It's before Jesus came, under what the Jewish people live under, or what we call the Old Testament or the Law. And look what Jesus does. This is in John chapter 8, verse 24. And he says, "For unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, your sins are going to get the best of you. You're going to die in your sins." Look what it says in verse 25. And then they ask him, same situation, "Well, who are you?" "Well, I'm the one I've always claimed to be." It's kind of that, okay. Jesus was telling them, you should know because I've told you. You should know because a lot of these guys were from Jewish backgrounds, and they knew what the Old Testament taught and what the prophecies predicted of Jesus. You see, there's so much to these as we look at these seven I Am's. And again, it's not going to be able to squeeze it in. We're going to take our time, and we're going to get in two of them today. But Jesus in the first one, in John chapter 6, verse 48, look what he says. It'll be on the screen behind me. It says, he answers them. They ask him, "Are you who you say you are?" And he says, "Yes, I am." And he uses this term, bread. Bread of life. You see, this very much would make sense to Jewish people. Because what he was doing was tying it back to their customs. And it's even way deeper than we can get into today. But it comes from this verse out of Leviticus. Leviticus is a book that is telling the priests of the day how to do things. And look what it says. It says you must bake 12 loaves of flatbread. And actually it tells them how to arrange them. And 12 is significant because 12 is the number of tribes of Israel. So in essence, there was one loaf representing each tribe of God's people, which now, according to the New Testament, we are included in God's people. And it says, "And place the bread before the Lord on this pure gold table." You see, it's important that you understand this part of it. The bread was laid before God. It stayed before God constantly. It was actually replaced every week. And the only people that could eat the bread were the priests. It was considered their lot. That's how they got paid. It was given to them. So each week, somehow it stayed fresh for a week, and then they change it out. And fresh for a week, and then they change it out, and then the priest would eat it. See, the thing you need to know is that the priest, the line of the priest, the lineage, included King David, which eventually brought Jesus. And the Bible says of Jesus, he is what? He is our high priest. In other words, he made the sacrifice for us that we don't ever have to make again. It's important that you see this. The bread also signified our constant presence before God. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 30 or so, it says that the bread shall remain there before the Lord. It was never to leave. They couldn't go take the 12 out, go outside and get 12 and bring 12 in. There always had to be 12 there. So they'd pick one up, put one down. Pick one up, put one down. Pick one. They had to keep 12 there. And the Bible orders it. Well, what Jesus was trying to tell us, and I'm going to give you a few if you're taking notes and want to fill in. By the way, all these notes Since we're not handing out your worship guides and your message notes, they're all online, like Melanie said. They're all on our new app. You can go get that. So those of you note takers who, if I go too fast, don't panic. They'll all be online and they're all there tomorrow morning. But the first thing Jesus is trying to say when he says talking about the bread is he's trying to tell us, hey, I'm present. I'm present always. The Bible says I'm with you forever. I'll never leave you or forsake you. There's all kinds of verses, New, Old Testament and New, about Jesus being present. But look, Jesus even says it again in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus replies that I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never, and I highlighted these words for you, never be hungry again. And say this last one with me. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. How? Remember Jesus, the woman at the well, and she goes and says, he says, well, can you draw me some water? And he ends up telling her, well, if you drink the water that I give you, you're never going to be thirsty again. And the woman was like, she didn't get it. What he's telling us is you're not going to need any more of this. Not only am I going to be the answer for your sin and the answer for your problems, the Bible's very clear that I'm present and I'm never leaving. I'm here and I'm never leaving. Jesus talks about up to the time of his crucifixion, his resurrection, and ascension into heaven. He says, when my physical body leaves, I'm going to send my spirit to be here on the earth with you. So God's always going to be with us. I was thinking this week, I was reading some stories, some articles with all the craziness going on in the news, and I can't remember where it was, and it wasn't George Floyd in Minneapolis. It was somewhere else about a young man getting killed. I think it was in a playground fight, and somehow he got killed. And the mother was quoted as saying, I don't know how I'm okay, but I just feel like God's present. And she actually used that word. You see, there's a peace that we can rely on. Jesus is the bread of life, and he is the bread of life that's constantly before the Father, and therefore he can be present with us and gives us a way to be in the same room as him. I thought this was cool. Side note, you know, sometimes things catch my eye that you may go, huh, and if you do, that's okay. I'm weird like that. But when I went to seminary and I got my master's degree, I purposely took a track that didn't force me to take Hebrew and Greek because I'm from the South and I did well to master the English language, and I figured I don't really want to mess with any other languages. So I married somebody who was schooled in Greek and Hebrew. But as I was digging, I found this one all on my own. She didn't help me. That Hebrew word, the bread, when it talks about the bread, in the Old Testament literally translates the bread of faces. How cool is that? In other words, before God is your face always. Think about that. I personally believe this is true for even people who don't know God. Because the Bible says he passionately pursues those who need him. That God's constantly looking at your face. The Bible tells us in the New Testament of Jesus, how does God look at me and you? He looks at us through the lens of Jesus. That we are constantly before him. God is present with us. And now he sees us through that lens of Jesus. You know, Jesus several times in the New Testament, going back to the bread, if you remember, he feeds 5,000, one time he feeds 4,000. Then the Bible talks about him eating the meal, which is their Passover, which is what we would say is communion. And in that, every time that Jesus took bread, does anybody know what he did? The Bible says of every time, if you look at it, In the New Testament, and we'll just look at, I'll give you the communion verses in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. It says, Jesus took some bread. He always did two things. He blessed it, and he broke it. And he broke it into pieces, gave it to the disciples, and said, take this and eat. You see, Jesus was not just something that you had to receive it, but you did receive it, but you had to take it internally. And what he's trying to tell them, he said, listen, if you want life outside of this earth and you want life with me, he's very clear. Jesus is saying, I am the life. And they didn't like that. In John 6:35 and John 6:38, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And then again, in 6:51, he says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats of this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I offer, so the world may do what? May live." You know, going back to the Father's Day thing of men, it's time to speak up. Sometimes I think we don't understand that the words that we say, for those of us who know God and who serve Jesus, are not just simple words that float out into space and that our kids ignore. I truly believe this. And what better time to share this than on Father's Day, that my grandfather and my dad, my grandfather's passed away, my dad is obviously still alive, they're constantly, a matter of fact, and I'll let you in a little more transparent, if you don't know this about me, if those of you who know me pretty well will know this, Melanie and I really don't do like greeting cards. I can't remember the last time we've purchased one for each other. I don't know if she just conformed to me over 20 years or if she just accepted the fact I don't do cards. But so when we were doing for like my father or my mother, or, you know, Father's Day and Mother's Day, I hate it because I always have to sit and go, you know, what do I write? You know, I want to buy the card that has a funny joke on it and sign my name to it and send it to you. But, you know, Father's Day and Mother's Day, I try to write something. Well, this year I realized as I was studying kind of for this that my father and my grandfather, for that matter, have for all of my years on this earth spoken life over me, spoken the word over me. Even when I didn't want to hear it, even when I didn't like it, even when I disagreed with it. And whether you have biological kids or you have maybe nieces or nephews or family that you have influence, let me encourage you today, guys. Ladies, y'all just hold on for a second. If you're at home, guys, tune in for a second. Say thank you when you get a Father's Day gift today or they bless you or whatever it is today. But make sure that every other day of the year, you look right back at them and you tell them you are the called of God. You're above and not beneath. You are royalty. And then expect them to act like it. You've heard me say, and if you don't know, if you're listening online or watching online and you're in the room, you've heard people here. I've noticed y'all pick this up now over the past 10 or 11 years, is that when I pray for my girls, I say they are whole, complete, and lacking nothing. Every single night we speak that over our girls. Now, are they perfect? Ain't no way. And the last 4 months locked in the house with them, Melanie will testify, no. You know, I get it on the backside when I come home and she's, you know, wide-eyed and like, you need to do something with these kids and take them somewhere. So I encourage you, man, you know, and that's what Jesus was doing. He says, I'm the living bread in John 6:51. That what I'm giving you is so you can live, and it's me, my flesh. If you go on, back up a few verses, in 6:33, Jesus says again, the true bread of God, in other words, me, is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life. The Bible says over and over, Jesus says over and over, that I only give you what I've given, what my Father's given me. Well, the same is true from Jesus to us, guys. What he's given to you, you can give to your children. For those of you who are married, you can actually, the Bible says, give that to your spouse. You speak that over her. You speak that. I laugh. I had a friend that one time, he was asking me, you know, my wife and I, we keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And so I asked him about his conversations with her, and his conversations with her always seemed to be telling her, and it may be true, I don't know. It may be true, she may have been this, but he always told her what was wrong. You do this, and this is wrong to me. You act this way, and this is. And I said, why don't you surprise her? And when things get hot, why don't you speak over her what we know the Bible says? And there's a whole proverb. Go look it up and just quote that over. She's probably going to think you're being a smart aleck. But if you just keep saying it and quit calling out and speaking over her death and speak over her life and speak over her that the God, the true bread of God is Jesus, and you've got to use it. Let Jesus speak. The Bible actually said, I think David wrote this in Proverbs. He's talking about your words. Remember we read in John that the word was with God. So it's talking about Jesus and him being the bread. And it says, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Some of you have physical issues. And I'm convinced that if you'll just begin to speak to those things, the Bible says Jesus is alive today. He's healing now just like he did back then. You begin to speak it over your body. It's not spooky spiritual. It's just conversation. Your words matter. This old lie of sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Baloney. People commit suicide every day because of words. They said now during the pandemic and all the people closed in, suicides have skyrocketed. Domestic violence has skyrocketed. And you know what? It's the same. I can tell you, as somebody has kind of is connected with EMS, first responders, law enforcement, it's true here too. All kind. Speak life. Bring healing to the body. Anyway, I'll come back. The second time Jesus says, I am, is just after this. In the Bible, there's a verse, or a story, and I'll tell it real quick so you don't know it, about the woman being caught in adultery. And the Bible says that basically these religious knuckleheads, I don't know, there's nothing nice about them. These Pharisees go and grab this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Important words, caught in the act. So they drag her out. The Bible says she's without clothes. Throw her down in the city square, and they're all gathered around, and they're about to stone her. Jesus comes up, and that's when Jesus says, hey, let you who have no sin, y'all can throw the first rock. And the Bible describes that they start putting the rocks down. Well, then there's still people there. That's when Jesus gets down and he starts writing in the dirt. The Bible doesn't tell us what he's writing, but I tend to think he knelt down and started going, John, Jim, yeah, there's Jim. You know, these are all people who have sin and y'all are still standing here like you don't. And then he looks at the woman and he says, well, where are all your accusers? And she looks up and says, they're gone. There's none here. And Jesus says, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So that just happened. Even after all of that, these are some brave people. They were still standing there. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 8 that Jesus spoke to them once more. And he said to them, and here's the second I am. That I am the light of the world. Again, to the Jewish people and to their ears, this would have been blasphemy. You didn't compare yourself to God. You weren't. Those are the people that they stoned and they executed because of what they were saying. It goes on to say, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have that light that leads to life. I know this next point is very elementary, especially if you've been serving God for very long, but it still needs to be said in its truth in the simplest form. Jesus was saying that I am the only way. There's a lot of other lights out there, but I'm the only light, the Bible says, that swallows the darkness. I don't know if you've ever been, especially, well, I know most of you probably have, you've been out in the woods early morning when it's like, you know, oh, dark 30. And it's just like dark. And we recently in December, we moved out into the country. And just the other day, I'm loving this now because Melanie's learning things that I know and experienced, but she hadn't experienced yet. And it was still daylight, but we were coming out around the back porch and she stopped and her eyes did like this. And I'm standing right beside her and I didn't really hear anything. And she says, what was that? I didn't hear it, and so I stopped, and all of a sudden in the woods I hear, all of you who deer hunt know exactly what that was, but I mean, this was 60, 70 yards, and it was loud. I said, that's probably a doe with a baby, and she's telling the baby run, because something scary's coming. you know, that we're learning, when you hear that in the middle of the night when it's dark, you know, or when you're out early getting in a deer stand and you hear that noise, that kind of dark. The Bible says that kind of dark just eats the light. No matter how big a flashlight you have, it's only going to shine so far because darkness consumes it. See, the Greek word, and I'm more teachy today, and I'm sorry. I didn't know this. The Greek word for darkness, and I didn't put it on the screen because I don't even know if I can say this correctly, is spelled S-K-O-T-I-A, skotia. And it means darkness due to the wanting of light. If that word was used, it didn't just mean turn off the lights, dark. It actually means it's dark, but I'm searching for light, trying to find my way out. And if you've never been physically in a place where that's happened, it's terrifying. The first time they did that to me as a firefighter, I remember they pull a mask down over you and they throw you in a room you've never been in and say, okay, find your way out. And I don't know if you guys, if you're from here, this will make sense, but down in the middle of town is the where they used to, the peanut plant, and they used to train in there. You may remember this. And they basically run a hose through there, and they blindfold you, take you in, spin you around, and they say, you got to get out. But, oh, by the way, you only have 5 minutes. And they've drained all the air out of your tank. So when 5 minutes hit, it starts going, meh, 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 brr, brr, and starts making all this racket, and you got to get out. See, that's scotia. That's darkness, but I'm desperately looking for some light. And the first time it happened to me, I still get nervous thinking about it today. It has an impact on you. That I panicked. And they teach you how to find a hose, and you follow the hose and work your way out. And on the way out, as I was going out, the alarm, they know that you're not going to be able to get out. Just like Jesus knows you're not going to be able to get out of sin by yourself. You can't get out because you don't have enough air. And if you've ever seen one of those giant buildings down there, it's a giant warehouse, and you got to get out. Well, my alarm went off, and I began to panic. What do you do when you panic? Well, one, you go faster, and you're crawling. Two, you usually make a dumb decision. I don't know what better example of our normal everyday life this is than you get panicked, and then we make a dumb decision. Well, I got panicked, and my dumb decision would go faster, 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 and I quit feeling in front of me. And there was a metal I-beam contraption, and I was head down crawling for all I was worth. Bing! You ever see the old cartoons when they hit and go? It knocked my helmet off, knocked me back sideways, knocked my mask off, which means if I was really in an emergency, I was dead. See, what was happening? Everything within me wanted light. And Jesus here is trying to tell them, listen, y'all need to relax. I'm the only way. I'm the only light that's going to get what you're looking for. There's a lot of us, maybe you're watching online today in our community, we're looking for hope. You're looking for something to take this weight off of you. Maybe it's your situation in life, your relationship. And Jesus is trying to tell them, I'm the only way. I am who I say I am, but I am the light. This is what I believe Jesus for us. We go back to the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 1, remember when God created the earth? And it says, and God saw that the light was good. He created light. The Bible says before that, the world was darkness and void. Look what this says. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated light from darkness. I never thought about this until now. And again, you may already know this, but I didn't think about this. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He separated the darkness that we were in. And me in that warehouse, struggling, trying to get out, trying to figure out how to breathe. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going on. Suddenly, there was light. And it was Chief Rozier. And Chief Rozier grabbed me, and he shined a light in my face. And he did ask. He had the courtesy, are you okay? Because my eyes were doing this because I just ran into a steel beam. But he says, hold on. We're going to reset. Here's my light. I'll show you out. It's exactly what God's doing for us right now. The only way I was getting out of that building was if somebody came and took me by the hand and led me out. I couldn't even tell you. I probably could not have even told you what city I was in. And I've been in Sylvania for 22 years now. That's how I was, just so terrified, like, get me out of here. But it took somebody with light, and that's what Jesus says here. See, Jesus did the same thing for us, because you and I have life stuck on us that we can't get rid of. This life of sin, this life of our past. And the only way you move forward is let God separate you from the darkness. You let Jesus separate you from those things that you know are not of God. The Bible says in John chapter 12, this is, again, Jesus talking, and he says, I have come to shine the light in this dark world. I have come to shine the light in this dark, dark world. I was watching, again, sometimes I can be a news junkie, and then it gets to me, and I realize it's affecting me. I have to turn it off. But I usually will say not much surprises me, that humanity and all of the darkness that's in a lot of us, that we just need Jesus for. That when people do stuff, I would say, yeah, it just doesn't surprise me. I've seen that. I've seen this tragedy. I've seen it. It's terrible, but it doesn't surprise me. Then the other day, I forget where it was. I saw a news video, and it said something in the order of, 30-year-old man knocks a 96-year-old woman unconscious. I don't know if you saw that. Granted, I am not pleased in all this world. Everybody, I've been so nervous in the last 3 weeks. Everything I say is going to be taken to some crazy extreme. I'm not diminishing anything else that's happening in the world right now. So y'all hear me, and all you people that like send emails, just hold off a second. But as I saw that this week, and I was reading this verse that says in John chapter 12, here verse 46, I have come to shine a light into this dark world. That there, if you didn't know this case, there was a man and a woman. They're walking opposite directions. This woman lived in, I think it was Brooklyn. She had lived there all of her 96 years. She said, I'm never afraid to go anywhere in Brooklyn. She's pushing a walker or a cart. And as she's walking, a guy walks in the opposite direction. And he walks by, and as he walks by, he just goes, and just knocks her down, and then keeps walking. They've since arrested him, and, you know, they've figured out who he was. But I just heard this verse about this dark world. But then the truth of the matter is, if there's a dark world, then there's us in it. And if we're in it, then we know friends in it. We've got people in it. That what would rise up within somebody to just knock out a 96-year-old woman? I don't have the answer. And just like all these other tragedies, the answer is not going to make it any better. But I look at this when Jesus says, I've come into this dark world so that all that put their trust in me can do what? Can get out. See, if you take anything away from today, I don't know where you are in life, watching online, where, you know, what dark corner you're in. We've all been in some, but you need to know. Jesus says you don't have to stay that way. You can get out of the darkness. He actually, just before this line in John 12 and verse 12:35, Jesus says this, that those who walk in darkness can't even see where they're going. I think a lot of us we're so used to the dark. You don't even realize you're in the dark. You don't even realize that things have changed. You don't even realize that, and this is where I had to start, and even in the past couple of weeks, I started being careful with the news because I realized it started, ever had something close in on you? Best way I know to describe it is that feeling right before you pass out. One time I gave blood, and I went and sat down, and I told the lady, and I've got huge veins, and I told the lady, I said, I've done this before. When you stick it, don't open the little valve all the way, because you're going to have to pick me up off the floor. And she wasn't listening. Yeah, okay. And then she walks away, and I look down at the bag. You know, the bag's supposed to be like this. Well, my bag was like this, and I'm like, And she runs over and takes it out and takes me and sets me down. And I knew, I was like, y'all better just get something because I'm about to go out. And I sat down in the chair, and all of a sudden you see this. It starts closing in on you. And in my mind, I'm screaming to the nurse, hey, nurse, you know, what was coming? There's nothing coming. I asked the nurse later. She goes, no, you never said a word. But my mind, I'm screaming, it's closing. It's closing. Like, and right before it closed, I felt the nurse, what's her name? It's Trethaway. She put a cold rag on the back of my, and then I felt my lip open, and she shoved some juice in my mouth, and I kind of came to. And see, I think a lot of us are in that same place right now. A lot of you in life is coming like this, and Jesus is telling you, hey, I'm the light, I'm the way, I'm what you need. You don't have to stay there. You can get out, and it's just closing in on you. The darkness, the depression. People who fight depression will tell you it just kind of closes and squeezes you. And some of us just need to know that the Bible says, Jesus says, this the light that I have, I can separate you from that darkness. That's my prayer for you today. Praise team, you guys can come on back up. For the rest of you, just real quick, if you don't mind bowing your head, closing your eyes, even if you're at home, bow your head, close your eyes. I want to be that voice today that nurse was for me, that she, I could, it was closing in on me. I could hear her voice. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't react. I thought I was, but nothing was happening. With your eyes closed, just you and God for a minute, I just want to tell you, hey, there's a way out. There's this thing you can consume, this God that loves you, that sent the only answer that works. And if that's you this morning, and you say, Clint, I need you, I need this. Some of you may say, well, Clint, I know this Jesus you're talking about. I've never actually given my life to him. Well, the first part of this is that you say to God, you just say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I need you to help me. This is the part of the verse where Jesus says, hey, take and eat. In other words, here I am. You got to take me and just receive it. You pray a prayer, something like this. If this is you, just maybe right there where you are, just repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. God, forgive me of my sins. Today I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. God, bring light into my world and separate me from the darkness that's plagued me for all these years. In Jesus' name, amen. Now for the rest of you, if you would, for this, I'm gonna ask you to just kind of give me your eyes just for 1 minute. We're going to get out of here. We're getting out of here early today. If this is you, if you feel like this darkness is closing in on you, and you may be saved for 20 years, you may just have gotten saved, you need to know. In just a few minutes after, we're going to sing one last song. The song is exactly perfect for what we're talking about today. But as we're singing that last song, and then after it, over to my right, your left, we always have people here that are willing to pray with you. Don't leave. The Bible says there's something powerful when you tell somebody, hey, I need you to pray for me. You don't even have to go into detail. And you normally would, whatever you feel comfortable. If you want to grab a hand, y'all work that out. I'm not going to tell you not to. But to literally or figuratively grab hands and go, I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to do this together. And we're going to let the light of God separate the darkness that's around us. Don't leave today if that's you. Because I know there are those of you who fit that bill and you're looking for help. And you're here today not to just hear me, but to hear from our Heavenly Father. Amen? Let me pray for you, and then we're going to worship. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for all those that are within the sound of my voice. Today, God, Father, we ask you to bless us. Do what your word says. Separate the darkness from us, the things that are nipping at our heels, the thing, our past we can't shake. It's your word says you made us whole and new, and we thank you for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Let it be true in our lives today. In Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you now as we prepare to close, for those who are going to be giving today, this is your day to tithe and give in your worship. Father God, we bless that, whether it be online or it be a check in the bucket or cash or whatever it may be, Father, that we worship you with all that we are. And Father God, we're going to take a few minutes now as the lights come back down. God, that we trust you, that you're going to make a way, Father God, when there seems to be no way. Come and have your way in our lives today, Father. We bless this offering, this tithe, to go change the world and change our community. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.